This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
Tons of guests coming your way.
Yep.
And some big-time awards.
Absolutely.
We're at it again.
Yep. The official Atlantic Coast Conference Women's Basketball Awards are upon us here in this hour. And we're going to visit with a couple of the honorees as well. Let's first get to the major awards, the three major awards, before we tell you about the Blue Ribbon Panel's first team All-ACC. And let's start with Coach of the Year in the Atlantic Coast Conference. Well, the winner of the regular season and the top seed next week in Greensboro, or this week in Greensboro, I should say, no surprise, the honor goes to Wes Moore of NC State, who finished ahead of Kenny Brooks of Virginia Tech, who was second, and Neil Ivey of Notre Dame, who was third. The freshman of the year from Notre Dame, a very tight race. Sonia Citron of Notre Dame is the freshman of the year. Marvelous season for Neil Ivey and the Fighting Irish. She bests Cheyenne Day Wilson of Duke and Maria Gakdang of Boston College. That was a very close race, by the way. And the Atlantic Coast Conference Player of the Year is from Virginia Tech. Junior center Elizabeth Kitley, who finishes ahead of Elisa Cunane, who finished second, and Emily Inksler of Louisville, who finished third in the race. And we are going to be joined by the Atlantic Coast Conference Player of the Year here in just a moment, Pac. Here is the All-Atlantic Coast Conference first team, as voted on by the Blue Ribbon Panel. Remember, we're talking about 10 members on the ladies' side. Cam Schwartz of Boston College, Delisa Washington of Clemson, Lorella Kubai of Georgia Tech, Emily Inksler, Haley Van Lith of Louisville, Deja Kelly of North Carolina, Elisa Cunane of NC State, the only member of the top-seeded Wolfpack to make the first 10, Olivia Miles of Notre Dame, Virginia Tech's Liz Kitley, and Jewel Spear of Wake Forest.
When you go down that list right there real quick, Wes, you know what? You realize why the league's so good.
Yep. Here's the five-person second team. Taylor Soule of Boston College, Morgan Jones of Florida State, Alyssa Usby of North Carolina, Maya Dotson of Notre Dame, and Asia Shepherd of Virginia Tech. The freshman team, now this was going to be interesting because just of the variances around the league, Maria Gakdang of Boston College, Cheyenne Day Wilson of Duke, Omariah Gordon, and Michaela Thompson of of Florida State on the list, Peyton Verhulst of Louisville, Jayla Williams, Miami, Asia James, NC State, Sonia Citron of Notre Dame round out the All-ACC freshman team. And let's go live to Blacksburg, shall we?
Let's do it.
Another return appearance to the Packer and Durham program for the ACC Player of the Year, Elizabeth Kitley. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thanks.
This has got to be a joy, right? I mean, I know you traded in for, you know, winning the ACC tournament or getting that double bye and all that stuff, but it's an ultimate team game. But this award really is indicative of really the incredible year you had. All that hard work, it does pay off.
Yeah, I mean, it does, and it really shows, too, how good my team is at getting me the ball and my coaches are developing me because, you know, when I got here, I don't think anyone's goal in the program was for me to get this award. I don't think I ever really thought about it either. So to actually get it is really cool and just is a testament to the program and everyone involved.
Liz, there's so many different lines of thinking here about, you mentioned development from year one now to year three. When you heard about this, what was the first thing you thought of?
Honestly, when I heard from Coach Brooks, I was just super grateful and thankful for everything that he's done for me. Hard not to get emotional when he told me because obviously I just appreciate him so much for all the time and energy that he's put into me and the belief that he's had in me from the beginning that, you know, I don't think other people saw potentially what I could be, but he definitely did, and he made sure to tell me that every day.
It seems you guys have had a special bond since you got there, not just in your development as a player, but leadership, all those type things, and the winning as well. I mean, you guys have kind of collectively turned that program a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that we get along so well as people, not just as coach and player. So that relationship off the court just helps us to be even better when it comes to basketball. But, I mean, I love him. He's, like, my second dad, and I appreciate everything that he's done.
Speaking of your dad and your folks, what was that conversation like when you said, hey, you're not going to believe it. I'm the ACC Player of the Year. What was that deal?
My dad is the biggest softy ever, so he was, you know, a little speechless for a while, definitely emotional. My sister was super emotional. And then my mom's always there to be the steady one. She was just congratulating me.
Well, you mentioned it's not only a credit to your play, but that of your team. And Mark and I watched Sunday. I mean, it was a terrific game. It was hard fought and it was close like we thought it would be. So now that the regular season's complete and you guys go to Greensboro later today, I'm guessing, to get ready for the tournament, qualify the regular season and now what the postseason means, Liz, because you guys fought as a team to get into the rankings all year, and now you're kind of there, and here's the postseason. The reality of that now is here.
Yeah, I mean, I think that we've worked really hard all season to, you know, end the regular season as a ranked team, a ranked program. We've shown that we can play with anyone, really. We're always in the games. And hopefully in this regular season, we can finish those games against the best teams. We do have some good wins under our belt, so I think that'll help and come in handy. But, you know, looking forward to the postseason, we want to, you know, clinch those wins against NC State instead of losing by two. And, you know, things like that, we hopefully can just finish a little bit better and be more consistent throughout an entire 40-minute game.
By the way, do we get any kind of perks as Player of the Year? I mean, is there a little something, a little side sum? I mean, you know, I know you're going to get a nice award and all that stuff, but you'd think that maybe there's some cool sidebar stuff here, don't you? I mean, you tell me.
I don't know. Coach Brooks still has my ACC trophy in his office because I haven't asked for it, so I just am living.
You just kind of let him hold on to it, then when you're done, you'll just go get it in one swing by or something like that? Bring a big box just kind of go that route?
Yeah. I see it more in his office anyways, so no point in taking it home.
I mean, it really is a team award. I mean, like you said, I mean, you're getting all the accolades, but as you pointed out, I think your answer was spot on. It's a team game. I mean, you know, if everybody doesn't step up, you don't get a platform to be able to perform at the highest level. And I'm going to tell you, this ACC tournament getting cranked up this week, the league has been so good. You guys have turned it on at the right time. And go back to that game Sunday. I know woulda, coulda, shoulda, one basket here or there changes the outcome. Mm-hmm. But you got a shot. I think your team is really, really dangerous in Greensboro this
Thank
week.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, we're excited and we think so too. Obviously, there's so many ifs and shouldas and couldas, like you said. But hopefully if we can just alter a few things and, you know, push through and run off the adrenaline of the tournament and just being in the postseason, I think that'll help a lot. So we're obviously going optimistic. We still have huge goals, and we're not going to change that.
Liz, what's your favorite moment of this season?
Oof. My favorite moments probably our four-game stretch that we had at home in 1 week. When we went 4-0 out of that week and we beat Georgia Tech, UNC, Clemson, and Boston College, I believe. That was a fun week.
What about off the floor? It seems like you guys get along great. I mean, just watching games and seeing the interaction during timeouts, it seems like y'all have got the right mix of personalities. And I think in our visits with Coach, it's evident that's a real big part of what he's built. So off the floor, you guys have a good time, I'm guessing, too, huh?
Oh, yeah, we definitely do. We all get along. Coach Brooks talks about it. We're all really introverted, though. So, I mean, he sometimes would like us to talk a little more. But it's, you know, we all just have the same kind of energy. We're not super loud, I guess, unless you catch, you know, Georgia on the right day. But we're pretty much all calm.
When it comes to the tournament, though, I mean, getting off your feet has got to be an important deal, right? Because the mindset is, hey, we're going to be there for the duration. We're not packing for one day and coming back to Blacksburg. We expect to be cutting down the nets in Greensboro. So the mindset's got to be a little bit different, doesn't it, in terms of, hey, just the physicality of the games, knowing that, hey, we're going to go back to back to back, whatever the case may be, being able to get some time away. It's not like you mentioned winning those four games in a period of time. This gets even more condensed. So the mental aspect of this heading into it's got to be a little bit different.
Yeah, I mean, it is. Obviously, we're hoping to play a bunch of games in a row, so we just have to prepare for that and be mentally ready. But I think that, you know, being in the atmosphere of Greensboro and being in the Greensboro Coliseum on the ACC floor, it's going to contribute to our energy some, and we know what we're playing for, so we'll definitely be able to push through.
You know, we just got done talking to Randolph Childress, who said he was exhausted. And after putting up just an incredible effort to win the ACC title, and he collapsed on the floor, and it was just like, ugh, I'm done. So, I mean, it is a little bit different as opposed to, hey, we got two big games on the road this week or whatever the schedule may be. But, you know, I think your team's kind of built for a run. I really do. And like I said, I think both your men's team and the women's team at Virginia Tech are the two most dangerous outside of the quote-unquote double bye teams in the league on both sides. I think, you know, when you get a chance, again, if you get to the point to see North Carolina, it'd be a heck of a game to get things cranked up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. It'll, you know, every game will be a competition, so we're looking forward to it because that's what it's all about. We want to compete, and happy to get that opportunity on Thursday.
All right. You're right. Thursday at 11 a.m., breakfast with Liz Kittley, Georgia Amore, and Asia Shepherd, right? That's the way we're going to go with it, a little breakfast, a little brunch, right?
Yeah, you can grab a brunch.
Yeah, pregame, 7 a.m., tip-off at 11 a.m. Great to see you. Congratulations. Really happy for
you
and for Coach Brooks in the program. Liz Kittley is the ACC's Women's Basketball Player of the Year, and our congratulations.
Her third appearance. She's a veteran of the show.
What about Big Ralph's a softy, huh? I wouldn't guess that.
No, you can't listen.
It's tough. Kittley was tough when he played for the Deacs.
Well, I'll say this. You know what? As a dad of two daughters.
Yes, sir.
I get it.
Mm-hmm.
I get it.
Sure. No question. Virginia Tech is the 5 seed. They will meet the winner of Syracuse Clemson at 11 a.m. on Thursday. If they win that, they would then meet the 4 seed North Carolina. Remember all that exchange happened on the final day?
Yeah, that's why I mentioned, again, and Liz's answer is spot on. Hey, we got to worry about the first one before we worry about the second
one.
And she's right, especially in this league, which is so good and so deep. But if you do have chalk, and you do have a Virginia Tech-North Carolina showdown, that will be worth the price of admission. I'm telling you, Virginia Tech's a dangerous team in this tournament.
Yep, I agree with you on that. When we come back, the ACC's Coach of the Year is next. Is this his 10th appearance?
Nope, number seven.
Wow, I was worried we were going to have to come up with a mug.
Nope.
Wes Moore is next. The ACC's Coach of the Year. I wonder if Elliott Avent held out on Tommy Tanks on him, too. Back after this.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Oh, that music can only mean one thing. The walk-up music for our next guest. How do we know that? Because we asked him.
Let's go to Raleigh. Here's the ACC Coach of the Year, kids, right behind Beyonce's Drunk in Love. Congratulations, Coach Moore. How are you?
Well, I'm great. Thank you so much. You know, again, got a great team, got a lot of great players, and great people. And so, and then the staff, I mean, goodness, you know, I started out in Division III where I didn't even have an assistant coach. And now you got all kinds of people around you that can make everything run smoothly. So very fortunate to have everybody around me that I do. So it's been a heck of a year.
Coach, you've been at the top seemingly all year, right? And you've had a target on your chest all year. How does the intensity change, if it does at all, as we go from regular season to, hey, we're the number one seed in the ACC tournament, and now it's March, and it's truly go time? How does that change for you and your team?
Yeah, you know, I thought we went through a stretch, you know, middle to late January, early February, where we were kind of grinding. I mean, and again, probably having a veteran team, you know, they're like, okay, let's get to March. And so that was concerning, but the last few weeks, we've just had so much energy in practice. It's been a lot of fun, the way they're competing and the focus that they have. And so hopefully, you know, again, having such a veteran team, they get it. And, you know, we've been fortunate to win it the last 2 years. That's going to make it even tougher, as you mentioned, because we're going to get everybody's best shot. But it's that time of year. I mean, everybody understands what's on the line, and there's a lot of implications as far as national seedings and that sort of thing for a lot of these teams and making sure they're in the tournament. So you're going to see a lot of hungry people that are, especially your veterans, your seniors and all, that realize, as you mentioned, this is it. So it's going to be a great show over there, you know, in Greensboro. I hope everybody comes out. We're, you know, hopefully over the COVID stuff, and we can fill that place up, and definitely looking forward to seeing a lot of red in that building.
When you get an award like this, and you've mentioned it, it's a reflection of your team and what you've built as a program. The second part about it is, though, it also might mean a little bit more when you realize, and I know you do, how good this league is.
Yes.
To do something like this now is not to diminish any of your other accomplishments, but right now you're doing it against maybe the best ACC women's basketball league the conference has ever seen, Coach.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I think the talent level is unbelievable. And I've said it before, part of that's due to the COVID year and the super seniors. Part of that's due to the transfer portal. Some people have really built their rosters up. But then also just the coaches in this league. I have so much respect. We got some unbelievable coaches. And every night you go out, you know you're facing some of the best in the country on that other bench that have prepared their team and that are making great decisions and adjustments during the game. So that makes it even really more special to me. Because it's because of the players that we have and the people that I have around me and things like that is a big, big part of it. But for, you know, your peers and all to, you know, help you receive an award like this, it makes it that much more special because I have so much respect for so many of these coaches.
All right, Sunday night, you win it's a battle now. The last 4 minutes of the Virginia Tech NC State game showcased the best of the league in many respects. Game ends, ball's loose on the floor, horn goes off, it's a two-point deal, and you go down and shake Kenny Brooks's hand, and you guys share a laugh about something. I mean, do you remember what was said? Because you looked at him, he looked at you, and he had a smile on his face. I thought, well, it must have been good because he just lost a two-point game, and you must have hit – whatever y'all said to one another must have really connected you.
No, I just I really, first of all, respect Kenny and the job he's done there at Virginia Tech. I mean, they had a great crowd. But also just as a person, he's a good guy. And, you hate it that somebody has to lose because he's done a heck of a job. And, sometimes I heard the other night Kansas State was playing Baylor on the men's side. The first quarter, Kansas dominated. The second quarter, Baylor made a big run, came back, took the lead or whatever, and they caught Bill Self as he's walking off the court. And they said, what happened? He said, the law of averages, first period we hit shots, the second period they hit shots, and that's part of it sometimes. A lot of times it's just who's knocking down some shots. And they're built, Virginia Tech's built a lot like us. They have a great post player that really is hard to slow down one-on-one. And then they surround her with great three-point shooters. And they really make you pick your poison. And, we try to do similar things offensively as well. And so, again, just and Kenny and I share the Dallas Cowboys, our love for the Cowboys. So, we're always concerned about the salary cap and who's staying, who's going. So, he's a good friend.
Well, you should be concerned about the Cowboys, but that's not what we're here to talk about. Yesterday, Haley Van Lith was on the show, and I said, what's the best thing about her team? And she said, I love our mental toughness. And I thought that was an important answer. And I'm now going to aim it at you and your team, Coach. You just talked about going through the grind, and every team goes through it. It's a long, tedious season, and you go through highs and lows, whether you're the number one seed or the 16th seed or whatever you are. From a mental standpoint, we know if everybody's physically tired, but mentally, what do you do right now for a team that's got a chance to not only win the ACC tournament, but also get in the NCAA tournament and win the whole thing? Mentally, how do you keep everybody dialed in and just focus like nobody's business now that it's March?
Well, first, let me just say I agree with Haley. Louisville's a very tough team. Defensively, they're really bought in to what Jeff's selling, and they get after you. And as we saw in our game here, we were very fortunate. The first three quarters, they pretty much kicked our butts. And we were fortunate in the fourth quarter to make a comeback, and the crowd we had, I thought, really made a difference for us in doing that. Yeah, I agree. That's, you know, right now you want toughness, both mentally and physically, and you want urgency, you want focus. And again, I think, you know, Louisville's doing a good job of that right now, as are a lot of the best teams in the conference, the best teams in the country. And, you know, we have to make sure that we're dialed in like that. And I think we will be. I mean, we've got a veteran team. You know, we've got several seniors that chose to come back mainly to rewrite the last chapter. And so I think that's going to motivate them and hopefully help them to have that toughness we need. But I agree with you. I think toughness is a big, big aspect right now as to how far and how deep you can go in these things.
Wes, the network is running this documentary on Monday nights, chronicling the history of the men's tournament.
Yeah.
And time and again in this documentary, there are stories of players that were not named first team All-ACC that end up being the most valuable player in the tournament. Alisa Kunane, deservedly so, is on first team All-ACC. However, it's your only player that made first team All-ACC.
Yeah.
Could that be a driving force for your team this week?
Well, I hope so. I was a little disappointed, I'll be honest. And part of it may have been my fault. You know, I probably put more on the ballot than I normally have, and that may have split the vote some. But, you know, I wanted the other coaches to make that decision. I didn't want to make that decision, so we put several on there. But, you know, again, you know, in some ways I feel bad for Alisa, too. You know, I think she's a worthy candidate as well. Liz Kittley, obviously, unbelievable year, leads the conference in scoring, rebounding, and block shots. You definitely, you know, got to tip your hat to her. She's had an awesome year. But with Alisa, there's times where she maybe hasn't played as much because, you know, we've got a great player in Camille Hobby who's been loyal to this program and deserves to be on the court, plays so well. So there's been cases where maybe we didn't get her at least of the minutes. But so many others, you know, Ja'Kia Brown-Turner's been first team in the past. I'm disappointed that she wasn't. But again, this league is so good. I mean, there's so many great players. It's tough. It's a tough call. Kayla Jones, you know, someone that I've said before has been the glue of our program. I know she did get some honorable mention and blue ribbon looks as far as all conference, but again, I don't know where we'd be without her. Kai Crutchfield, you know, we had her nominated for defensive player. Again, she's the one that, you know, we have guard the other team's leading scorer. You know, Raina Perez, we know what she's done for our program. Diamond, Jada Poyt. I mean, we got a lot of players that you could put on there, and maybe it did split the votes a little bit, and I understand that. Like I said, there's so much talent in this league. It's some tough decisions. We had a hard time, you know, doing our voting as a staff. So definitely, you know, we've got a lot of players that are capable of going over to Greensboro and having a great week.
Coach, you've won the last two ACC tournaments. You win the regular season for the first time this go-around. Maybe not a fair question, but I'm curious, since you've now lived it and accomplished both, what was harder, going through the grind of winning a regular season or the pressure of ACC tournament basketball?
Yeah, you know, I spent 15 years at UT Chattanooga, and it was a one-bid league. Now, that was pressure. We won the regular season 12 times, and everybody just assumes when you win the regular season, you're just going to roll in there and win the tournament, right? I mean, all you got to do is win three games. I mean, you beat all these teams already, so what's the big deal? Yeah. But that was pressure, you know. Here, if you have a great regular season, you've already kind of put your resume together, so to speak. Sure, you'd like to finish it off. And just winning the ACC tournament, as you mentioned, there's a lot of history, a lot of tradition in this conference. So you want to do it. I mean, I wanted these seniors to build as big a legacy as they could. And now they have two ACC tournament championships, an ACC regular season championship. And hopefully we can add a lot to that here in the next month. But, you know, they're both special. You know, the first one we won over there 2 years ago, there was a lot of red in the building. That was before COVID. And, you know, we there's 8,000 fans there, and I bet 7,000 of them were wearing red. So it was a special day to be able to celebrate like that with them. This year it was special because we were able to clinch the number one seed at home in our final regular season game in front of our home fans. You know, we've sold out almost every one of our ACC games, so it's a great atmosphere. And for us to be able to share that with our fans who've meant so much, it was special also. So I'm not going to, it's like picking your favorite kid, you know, I'm not going to do that. They're all special, and it's been a while since we had done some of those things. So really proud of this group, seniors especially, but really the whole team. We got so many people right now, we can go so deep, that have played a big role in this success.
All right, congratulations. Look forward to seeing you in Greensboro.
Well, thanks. It's great for the fans, all this talent and the great coaches that are in this league. It's great for the fans, I know. Not so much fun for the coach on the other end of the bench, though, because, you know, it's going to be a big challenge every day. But we're excited about going. Greensboro does an unbelievable job of putting this thing on. They've had a lot of practice, both on the men's and women's side. They know how to run a tournament. And, again, we're excited about the opportunity. Again, it ought to be a lot of good basketball.
All right. Wes Moore's the ACC's Coach of the Year. Thanks, Coach. Appreciate it very much.
Thank y'all.
All right. Thank y'all.
Go Pack.
You bet. When we come back, another ACC legend joins us. We're going to go to Monmouth in New Jersey. J.R. Reed, who is an assistant coach with King Rice and Monmouth, who's having a heck of a year, by the way, joins us next on Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Hey, don't forget, episodes 9 and 10, the final 2 hours of the tournament is next Monday night. 9 o'clock on ACC Network, streaming live on the ESPN app, presented by New York Life. We'll put a cap on it Monday night, 9 o'clock, right here on ACC Network.
Can't emphasize how good that documentary's been.
Yeah.
Really phenomenal stuff. Yeah. And if you've missed any, don't worry about it. You get a chance to get caught up on those things.
Yep. They're available, by the way. You can see episodes 1 through 8 on the ESPN app. If you've missed any, you can get caught up that way, too.
Yeah.
Maybe the best way. And, of course, they're replayed on ACC Network as a setup as well. Let's go to Long Branch, New Jersey, ladies and gentlemen, where we find the 1989 ACC Tournament Champion and Everett Case Award winner. Man, where'd the flat top go, J.R. Reed? What happened to the flat top?
Hey, I still keep a lot of hair on my head. It just switched up styles a little bit. That's all.
Hey, I know you're working as an assistant coach with King Rice. We're going to talk a little bit about that. But it is hard to believe now that it's been 33 years since that 1989 championship.
And it's still just as awesome. You know, we got a chance to relive it a little bit last night. I caught the show. Very well done. But for me, most importantly from that idea, I don't think they got that part in where I said we were just trying to get it for Coach Smith. There was just so much being said and written about him not winning one. And, you know, he was never one to say that it was important or he really wanted to get one. It would always be for us, but we knew and we wanted to get one for him. We knew how important it was for him to get it.
JR, isn't it kind of funny to look back? And again, we're in the media and we're a bunch of idiots. And but isn't it funny how people can just try to reach for storylines? I mean, to talk about, man, can Coach Smith win an ACC? I mean, really, when you look back at it now, it's almost laughable, isn't it? I mean, just the takes. Yeah.
It was, and, you know, it was just so much Carolina hate back then, man. It was, you remember the ABC, anybody but Carolina back then, and, you know, and Coach K was a young coach making his way through and grinding, trying to leave his mark for himself and his program, but our rivalry, it was just so exciting. You know, it brought out the best in me. I know that Duke always got my best, and Coach Smith was always preparing our team. So, you know, I'm thankful for those rivalries. It helped make me be the player that I was able to become.
Is it interesting from your standpoint now, and I'd add King to this and anybody else that you've worked with postscript from your Carolina days, in that the Duke-Carolina rivalry has become this national thing, but yet it feels like the groundwork of Mike Krzyzewski. And, of course, we're watching his final regular season game on Saturday night, JR. It feels like in your era, right there, middle 80s to middle 90s, is where it really started to become a thing with Mike Krzyzewski and Dean Smith for Coach Smith's remaining couple of seasons.
Wes, I think you hit it spot on right there. And I think before that time, it was really NC State and Carolina. It was really the big rivalry when I first got to school, or kind of was tailing off, and Duke was really becoming the up-and-coming team, ACC. And that was a really good point. But, yeah, they he had some struggles early on at Duke, but he turned it around and built such a tremendous program. And in return, it made us better. You know, we wanted those games. We look forward to playing those games. I look forward to going over to Cameron, playing in a hostile environment, which it was supposed to be. But those games, that place really riled me up. You know, I was able to give them my best the time I came over there. Really enjoyed it.
Now that you're coaching, how often do you have flashbacks of something Dean Smith said to you? Maybe it was a drill. Maybe it was a teammate, conversations in the locker room. I'm sure that it probably hits you all the time. But you know what? I didn't really understand what Coach was trying to do to me back in the late 80s. But now it makes a ton of sense.
I will have to say almost daily. You know, almost daily you think of something, but Coach Smith pops in, or something he said, or something that happened with him. And we were talking a little bit before we got on air about just going game to game. And you guys said, man, you turn into full Dean Smith right in front of our eyes. you know, athletes today, you know, a lot of things we took from Coach Smith, a lot of his philosophies and teaching points. But, you know, now athletes of today are a little bit different. So we coach them a little bit different, you know, probably a little bit different than Coach Smith would. But our relationship, my relationship with our players is terrific. You know, some of them still even call me JR, some of the older fifth-year seniors, which is fine with me. That's my relationship with them. And we've got a great bunch. They've really bought into Coach Rice's system here. He's built a great program here over the years, and I'm just really glad to be a part of it and be able to coach with one of my closest friends.
JR, what would you say is the difference between today's, you know, up-and-coming high school to college player versus your era? What's the biggest thing that jumps off the page?
I think back in our era, I think most of the coaches, or not, I won't put everyone in the same bag, but I think coaches had a tendency to coach everyone the same, you know, treat everyone equally and treat them the same. And now we realize that that's not always the case. Certain players you can come at certain ways. Some guys on your team you can get on, some you can't. You have to approach them differently. And, you know, as a staff, we recognize that and we try to make sure we're coming at the guys the right way and getting the message that Coach Rice wants, you know, gotten across. So I just think we coach a little bit differently. You try to have a little softer ear, ready for some of the guys, what's going on in their lives, and especially with mental health and what we've been dealing with the COVID. It's been really stressful on these guys, and I've seen it firsthand. So we just want to make sure we were here for them and show them that we're here to support them.
Hey, when we get finished here, make sure that you tell King we got Rodney Hyatt delivering you the bounce pass, not King.
Yeah, I was getting ready to say that, Wes. It was so good to see my man. We call him Oil Can. So good to see Oil Can and some highlights, man. So I'm going to make sure I hit him. I saw him delivering dimes to me on the break. And for a pull-up jumper, nonetheless. That's hilarious right there.
Yeah, pull-up jump shot by 34 from Kempsville. Not a drive to the rack. We're pulling up, Pack. You notice that. 13 feet, I'm working on the bank shot.
I was fired.
You know, you had the complete game, JR. It wasn't just a power thing, man. You can finesse them.
Come on now.
We tried, but that was the other blessing about coming to Carolina. Once we proved that we understood the game and were understanding what Coach Smith was trying to accomplish, he gave us the opportunity to go out there and just play. You know, a lot of teams didn't do that back then. Everything was so structured. And Coach Smith really let us play, and teams always thought we had these sets. And we were like, no, it's freelance. You know, Coach Smith letting us play. And Coach Rice King has done the same thing here. We laugh all the time. He's friends with a lot of guys, coaches in the conference, and we'll be talking on the phone. And they always say, King, man, you are bananas letting those guys shoot and go out there and play the way that they do. I'm going to go call a play every time. But, you know, believes that's the way that Coach Smith wanted the game to be played, and that's the way that we were taught. Give them confidence, teach them the game, and then let them go out there and show what they can do. And that's what our guys have done for us and been really happy with the results.
I want to ask you this question. I'm going to put it in this context. Hubert Davis has let it out of the bag that he and Christian Laettner are friends. In fact, that Christian might have become his best friend in pro basketball when they were teammates in Dallas. I'm going to guess, did you and Danny Ferry ever kind of become Christmas card buddies or anything like that?
Hey, no. We never became Christmas card buddies, but I will tell you, we were fortunate enough to go to Dave Cowan's big man's camp. Dave Cowan had a camp up in Boston, brought in young players, a big man at the time. It was probably my second, third year. I had about 7 or 8 of us. We all worked out together. So Danny was in that group. So we had an opportunity to talk a little bit and laugh. We knew a couple of the same people. So, yeah, I got a chance to know him in a different light. But, no, I'm not going to turn up over the leaf that Hubert Davis turned over and become best buddies with him. But I did give him the opportunity, and we did talk a little bit. So that was good. I could sleep a little better at night trying to do the right thing.
And by the way, who would be your favorite and best Duke guy? I mean, do you have one?
I'll tell you, you wouldn't be able to tell from the clip you guys showed last night, but rest his soul, Phil Henderson was terrific. Great guy. He was one of the only few that we let come over and work out with us in the summer. That's why it was so funny that Phil was the one to walk through that up. We're like, Phil, man, you know you're not like that. You have Phil. But great guys. We miss him, and he was a tremendous player for Duke and always brought it when we played against him.
Yeah, because I remember last night on the documentary, the head coach at Monmouth was telling Phil, don't be coming back over here. You're going to get it.
Hey, I can almost take the story a little farther, if you guys, I could tell you.
Sure.
I think it took him to remind me this. I think that same night or night after, Phil came over to Great Hall on Carolinas. We used to have dances over on our campus. And Phil came to that dance. And King Rice saw him in that dance. And King Rice went up to Phil. He's like, Phil, just like he said in the video, I told you I was going to see you outside of the game, outside the court. And I suggest you get out of here ASAP, quickly. I don't care who you came with, you better leave. Phil did get out of there as quickly as possible. There was no problems, nothing. Phil did. He gave you premises with the quickness.
Once again, we would have to do Packer and Durham after dark if we wanted to tell all the stories, because whether it be us in London with Zeno or King in London, or whether it's there we go. We shouldn't be telling London stories, should we?
Come on, man. We can't let you see, man. Gotta let you out of the club, man. You
Hey, I didn't say we were telling the story. I said we could tell the story.
Hey, JR, what happens in London stays in London, right?
Absolutely right. That's a whole nother time zone, man. We can't talk about that.
That's it.
Different country, different rules.
Hey, I know you're going to be watching the tournament. I know you're going to be watching Saturday night on the bus on the way back from Ryder, so... good luck finishing up the regular season. It's fun to see you guys have success. Tell King hello. Look forward to connecting again. You're a big guy to do this. I appreciate you taking time to do it.
Hey, anytime for you guys. I appreciate you, and thank you very much.
You bet. J.R. Reed, one of the all-timers in the ACC, now working with King Rice at Monmouth. The Hawks, by the way, are 18-11. King Rice became Monmouth's all-time winningest coach earlier this year. Not saying things, you may see his name on the list for jobs coming up.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And, you know, going back to that documentary last night, that Duke Carolina 89 thing was for grown men only.
You want to replay a game?
Dude,
replay that one.
That game had everything. It had edginess. Mm-hmm. It had physicality. It had drama. It had Dean. It had Kay. Everything that one kind of felt like everything was at stake, didn't it? I mean, that was a different kind of game, man.
Yeah. And Phil, I told you I would see you.
So great.
King Rice. Oh, man, one of the all-timers. All right, when we come back, we'll put a wrap on the Tuesday show. By the way, we got ball games tonight.
Yep, a couple.
Blue Devils are in Pittsburgh. Hokies and Cards at the Castle. We will preview the night in the ACC coming up next on the close of Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Don't forget Thursday night on ACC Network, another edition of All Access, the ACC Life, featuring Virginia Tech's wrestling team and Notre Dame's fencing team, both men and women. You'll get unprecedented access into the lives of student-athletes, coaches, staff, parents, and fans. 8 o'clock Eastern, Thursday night, right here on ACC Network.
By the way, last night on Jeopardy, the only reason I know, because Mrs. P's got it on when the radio show ends, I walked upstairs, and the three contestants, there was a guy on there that's a former Duke fencer.
Wow.
Yep. Former Duke fencer.
Did he win?
Not only did he not win, he was in the negative.
Oh, boy.
When we got the final
Jeopardy.
Had to
pay to get out of the studio?
And did not qualify for the final question.
That's not good.
God, his name was Joe somebody. Young guy.
That's a weird last name.
No.
Somebody?
No. Somebody's not technically his last name.
Oh.
Joe.
Joe was his. You said it. I mean, you said it as if somebody was really his last name.
Bob Smith. His first name was Joe.
Okay.
But he was in the negative at the end.
And you don't know his last name.
No.
You just said it was somebody.
When I walked up, he was like, well, yeah, this guy was.
Am I wrong? Did you not say it like it was somebody? You said it like his last name was somebody.
Boy, I tell you what. I hate that I gave up drinking in 22.
You're not done yet with the year. No, you're still early. You're only 2 months in.
I may not get to 10 a.m. at this rate.
thanks to J.R. Reed. Thanks to Randolph Childress, Matthew Cleveland, Harrison Prieto, Liz Kittley, Westmore.
Good group today now. Great job by the crew in Bristol. Excellent.
On this date, March 1, 2018, ladies and gentlemen, let's roll it from the KFC Yum Center.
This was crazy.
My man Mike Jaminski called this. Virginia's bank shot from DeAndre Hunter to beat Louisville.
How did they ever win this game? And you watch this play, and then you kind of realize, well, the basketball gods called even after Saturday in Charlottesville, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because they had zero ability to win this game, and did. Found a way to win it.
See, that's what Matthew Cleveland was scared of right there, the dog pile.
That's exactly right.
That's why Cleveland ran around.
That's exactly right.
Don't want to be tackled.
What a win.
Yeah. The G-man literally in the broadcast says, you got to be careful of Hunter on the perimeter. Boom, boom.
Crazy.
Yep. Well done. Two big favorites tonight, Duke at Pitt, Virginia Tech at home against Louisville.
I like the favorites tonight, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Louisville has owned the Hokies. 17 consecutive wins against Virginia Tech. Hokies are a double-digit favorite. I like them tonight at home. I think they're playing better basketball. I think they're a better team. Same thing with Duke, with Pitt.
Yeah.
Duke was so good on Saturday. What I want to see out of Duke tonight is, do I get the same pizzazz, right?
Yeah.
It's not going to be 30,000 like it was in the Dome and all the build-up and all that stuff. You're going to walk into a gym. Pitt will be excited to see and all that great stuff. Does Duke deliver the heat tonight? That's what I want to see from Duke.
Yeah. By the way, we got some new people on the Packer and Durham roster. Helping us out. Yes, sir. We got new people, transactions. Want to welcome Rachel, Lance, Jonathan, and Antonio to the Packer and Durham team here at ACC Network. Those are folks who are helping us in and around behind the Lumberjacks and their superiority.
Part of the smart people.
And today, Lisa Friday on a Tuesday, who's directing.
Yeah. Smart people in Bristol.
Yeah.
We just get in front of them.
So,
really smart,
Rachel, Lance,
people.
Jonathan, Antonio, we welcome you guys to the Packer and Durham team. Yeah. And appreciate your support of this this program, which
really
stays on the rails all 3 hours, as you can see.
Of course. There's no problem with that. But they're really smart people in Bristol.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
We just happen to be in front of the parade.
Couple of things about last night. If you missed us, and we know some of you have been fighting with your local cable provider on some audio issues. Not us. It's them.
We don't do conspiracies. You do.
Carolina clinched the double bye last night with the win in overtime against Syracuse.
So you got Duke, you got Notre Dame, and you have North Carolina. There's one spot open in the double bye.
And tomorrow night, Miami plays at Boston College. That is a critical game in the double bye process.
They win, they're in. Simple as that.
And Wake Forest hosts NC State.
Wake needs help.
Yes, that is correct.
Wake needs to win and need Miami to lose a couple times this week.
So there we go on that side of it as well.
Birthday today.
Ms. Barbara Packer celebrates another birthday today. The matriarch of the Packer foray.
There they are.
Yep.
Right in the front of the house. This was a Thanksgiving photo. Those maples don't stay that way all year. It's a shame. Beautiful. Piper girl sitting there. Fuller's looking for deer and chipmunks. And Chester did not receive his name, image, and likeness deal. So he just turned around and said, "You're going to see my butt." That's
good.
The way it works.
Good to see Brant. Brant making the picture. Look at the big Thanksgiving meal you had here. Yeah, Holy smokes.
We were the hostess with the mostess. Mrs. P put on quite a spread. But today is all about Barbara Packer celebrating a big birthday and still putting up with Billy after all these years.
And if we could go out there on the far right again, we saw about $250,000 in out-of-state tuition.
A lot.
the reason you're still sitting here, isn't it?
I will work till I'm 90 years old. And then my wife said to me the other day, she goes, "You know, the girls' weddings are coming up in one of these days."
And I what? Just went, huh? Wedding? What?
I swear I'm not going to ever retirement's never going to happen. I'm just going to keep going and going and going.
That includes this afternoon, SiriusXM.
4 p.m. till 6:30. We got 30 minutes off today because of a little Providence Villanova basketball.
Wow.
Only 2.5 hours a day. Happy about that.
It's 30 minutes off. Is that like getting in-state tuition?
That for me, it feels good. It's not a Coach K basketball and beyond hour, but I'll take the half hour off.
Yep.
I will.
Another big show tomorrow. Duke Athletics Director Nina King will be here at 9 o'clock tomorrow. Look forward to talking to her for things that are going on this weekend. Thanks to Drew Brooks, Josh Macri, Lisa Friday on a Tuesday directing. We'll see you tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. on ACC Network.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.